This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big queue.
Taco to go, taco to go.
We just review.
Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco to go, taco to,
this deal legit.
Taco to go.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Taco to go. The Score. This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's right. It is time for 5 on it. And when I say that I was cackle laughing at my phone while doing one of my many tasks yesterday, whether preparing for our show, watching the games, or doing some housework, I'd like to say that when Grody and I get together, the thing goes off the rails pretty easily, the show. But this was unhinged even for us, some of the topics we came up with. We've already alerted Dan Wiederer to what he has to prepare for tomorrow. Dan didn't even know. He's just minding his own business on a Monday, and we're like, no. We need you to get ready because we cannot fit in all our questions today. So that's the level of the 5 on it you're working with on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score. What do you think, Mark? Do you think the world is ready for all of this?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like we almost did it already. So this is actually, we did the dress rehearsal of halftime of 5 on it yesterday. Let's see how it goes today.
All right, question number one. Are you more concerned about the lack of depth in the Cubs' starting rotation or at third base?
I'm more concerned about the lack of depth in the Cubs' starting rotation for obvious reasons. This causes a horrifying chain effect in my mind, where unfortunately I have the bullpen already gassed by like July 8th. Yeah, I mentally can't deal with that in my mind. I don't know who's in my circle of trust at all times. Now, after what happened with Julian Merriweather, I'm wondering what's going on with my circle of trust in him. And that's not okay because he's typically been in it. So for me, it's definitely starting pitching. Additionally, as much as I have talked about the importance of third base on this team, Sahano Sharma and Patrick Mooney did a really good article last week in The Athletic talking about the issue with third base across the league and how offensively it is not producing. So I'm glad to know that at least it's not just the Cubs that are having this apparent issue.
Yeah, no, I would say, look, from the beginning of this season, the reason that I thought the Cubs would not advance beyond winning the division, that they would not win playoff games or playoff series, was because they didn't get Bregman. I looked at that and said, okay, that again, that's symbolic of the problems. Now, Matt Shaw comes up, no good. No good defensively, no good offensively, completely overmatched. And then it was just errors. Gage Workman, errors. Vidal Brujan, error. Even John Birdie, error. So it's a problem at third base. Don't get me wrong, but the starting pitching stuff is real, and they've handled it very well, quite frankly.
They have. Like, shout out to Colin Ray.
Shout out to Colin Ray. Shout out to Matthew Boyd. Even Ben Brown came up big, but guess what? It gets different when you have to depend on these guys because they're in a really comfortable place right now. They're lower part of the rotation. Now, Matthew Boyd, you have to be good. Colin Ray, you have to be good. Jameson Taillon has been really good in his last 2 starts against Milwaukee and Philadelphia. Now you have to be good. That changes things. That changes things from the mental perspective and that you're counting on these guys. So it's a big deal with these 2 guys down right now. That's the biggest problem on the Cubs right now, for sure.
5 on it. Is free agency really over for the Chicago Bears?
All right, this was inspired by Ryan Poles' interview with Lou Kanellis and us talking about Bears free agent needs, right? It clearly a running back discussion kind of advances the Nick Chubb, J.K. Dobbins type of talk. So I was thinking about it when it came to Ryan Poles saying to Lou, free agent was basically over, free agency, and that was back at the owners' meetings. But I still think that until there's some sort of commitment made regarding Dobbins, you know, the tender was issued. We know what the Chargers did in drafting a running back high up in the draft. This is still a discussion. Free agency is not really over to me. Can the Bears get some more cap space by perhaps an extension with Joe Tooney? I refuse to believe it's done yet just because I think that there are still a couple of questions that need to be answered on this team. Until they tell me it's not, I'm going to keep believing.
I don't know if they're going to make a splash necessarily. I don't know if they're going to get a running back like of note, but they're probably not done. And unless something has happened, you ready for this, Layla? Unless something has happened in the last hour or two, is Keenan Allen still available?
Oh, yeah. Good question. How many receivers do you want on this team? 95?
Like I said, I think it was the last time I was hosting with the two of you guys. I want like what we had in 2019 when there were 30 kickers all over the field interviewing them. Wide receiver. Let's get this. It was like our questions last night that we were going through. We came up with about 15 questions, didn't we, for this segment? And then we had to narrow
it
down.
I think it was 20, actually.
20 questions for this segment. We had to narrow it down. So, yeah, you know, think about Keenan Allen, the guy with whom Caleb Williams was most comfortable. And he came out and said, oh, look, Amari Cooper is available still. So bring him in. Hey, guess who else is available? Aaron Rodgers. That would be quite the splash.
What if those three were on a team together? Keenan Allen has also been linked to the Giants.
Okay.
Have they made an official roster move yet with one of those four quarterbacks? I'm looking into Tommy DeVito here. Have we talked about the Giants quarterback room? That's another five on it segment at some point or discussion.
Yeah. Mario Edwards Jr. is available. Former Chicago Bears defensive lineman.
Yeah.
You know, keep that rotation going on the defense. You can never have enough guys. I'm just going to guess. I'm going to say he's 32 or 3, Mario Edwards.
Why did I think he was older than
Maybe. But we could figure that out. So, yeah, I think that there's some potential for some signings. But those are some fun names.
Hi, welcome to the messy corner here. And at
Leo?
Five on it, we have a messy corner, new segment within the segment, the messy corner of Five on it. And our juicy, messy question for this edition is, can former Bears VP of Communications Brandon Faber fix Bill Belichick?
Okay, I'm the one who asked that question. Because I don't know about you, Mark Grody, who actually worked with Brandon Faber when he was the head of PR for the Bears. And he used to be... What was he the head of PR at the time for the Blackhawks during their title run?
I think he's done the Bulls, Blackhawks, and Bears. Very prominent positions in all organizations.
Yeah, I knew that he was with the Hawks while they were going through their title run. And now, unfortunately, we know other things that were going on there as well. And then working for the Hawks at the time was a very distinct designation. Goes over to the Bears and then is no longer with the team. To link his name to a possible solution or fixer role, whatever you may want to call it, with Bill Belichick and this whole Jordan Hudson situation, which a New York Post has been on, to say the very least. Latest from the Post is Jordan, what's Jordan's last name? Hudson? That she talked her way into that Dunkin' Donuts commercial that Belichick was in.
She's got to be the star.
Somebody's telling the Post a lot of truths right now, I guess, or maybe their truths, so to speak. But either way, what interesting people to put together to try to make this make sense. Does he need more PR? Absolutely. Does that come in the form of Brandon Faber? I'm not sure. Did I underestimate Brandon Faber as perhaps a fixer? Because that's clearly what this might be.
Yeah. Could be a fix. I mean, he was with the Chicago Bears for a long time, who tend to, at times, have issues in media relations.
We know what was
going on.
Public relations. I mean, the Hawks' sexual assault during the title run, the Kyle Beach case is enough to bring up here. It is, unfortunately. The Hawks have acknowledged that, you know?
Yeah.
Can he fix the situation with Bill Belichick?
Is he a fixer?
The PR version of this? The more and more we hear about Jordan Hudson, the more and more I think that is... She's telling you who is the executive role in this relationship, is she not?
Yeah. Yeah, again, I go back to opportunity cost for Bill. He's just got to let some things go, and I bet she's got to deal with some things with Bill, too. I'm sure that Bill is... We know Bill is difficult, so she's got to deal with stuff, too. Did I ever tell you... This is probably a good time to tell this story. Wasn't Brandon Faber, but it was on Brandon Faber's watch. This is actually pretty hilarious. I'm a Bears reporter, as most people know, full-time Bears reporter. I think it was, what's the year right now? What year are we in, 2025?
I just think you're full-time Grody.
Yeah, I'm full-time Grody. I want to say maybe 2020 or so. Here's the headline. I was suspended for a day from Hallis Hall. I was suspended for one day.
Did you take the squirt?
What?
The bottle of the squirt?
No. It's much better than that, actually. And for the record, it was not Brandon who suspended me, but he had to approve it, and nobody had my back, I might add.
I've noticed how that can happen at times.
Yeah,
amongst the media corps.
Nobody had my back. That was a boss.
That was a boss?
I'm not talking about here. But anyway, I was working for the Bears Radio Network then, which makes this even more interesting. Here was why I got my one-day suspension. Because I tweeted something too early. And they've been all over everybody, which I understand. There's got to be order when it comes to tweeting. When are you allowed to tweet? When are you not allowed to tweet? Because everybody's obsessed with tweeting and making sure we get the right tweets out there. So I tweeted a little bit early. They had been warning people. So basically what had happened was I was made an example of. I was made an example of. While there were many people who had tweeted early. And I'm not going to name names because I like everybody on the Bears beat.
What was the information?
You know what it was? I think it might have been... It was a running back injury. Was it Jordan? I don't remember. But anyway, that's
it
really not...
It was a running back injury?
That is not... There was something that we were all breathless after watching a practice. So I get a call from somebody saying, and I will say that the person who called me was very nice about it. He's like, hey, man. He's like, I hate to have to do this because we really like you and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, you tweeted too early, so we're going to have to suspend you for a day.
Had you ever been written up before?
No. And to this day, it's ridiculous.
So you got suspended before you got written up?
I didn't get written up. This was just the Bears. The Bears just
on your permanent record.
The Bears just said, we're not going to let you. We're not going to let you on the compound for one day. Basically, it's a credential matter. It's not an employment matter.
Oh, well, you said you work for the Bears Radio Network.
I was on the Bears Radio Network. It's a very complicated situation. I work for the Score. I'm a full-time employee for the Score, but I had a foot in the Bears because I was doing sidelines for the Bears.
Okay.
And so, since I tweeted early, I was told not to show up the next day.
Wow.
It was the weirdest thing. And people broke that law constantly as time went on. I didn't see anybody else get suspended, so it was pretty hilarious. Yep.
Well, that's not a fair application of punishment then.
No, it really wasn't. It was ridiculous.
I want justice for you. Well, it's kind of a long time ago. I think
we'd like justice too. I'd like justice as well. I would.
Speaking of things with the letter J, journalism finished second in the Kentucky Derby. What a segue. Is that the best we can ask for in 2025?
I think that journalism finishing second in 2025 is something we're all going to have to come to grips with, unfortunately, as the assault on facts continues. But in the meantime, I knew that the favorite would not win the Derby, especially with that track being what it was. Very muddy. So Sovereignty ends up winning. And I guess for the future, I just got to keep in mind that Bill Mott knows how to win on that track.
Look at you.
Yeah. He won in 2019 on a sloppy track that was Country House. So I feel like that guy knows something like similar to how he always, elevate Bob Baffert. Maybe not to that extent,
but
we need to keep in mind this particular trainer, Bill Mott, when it comes to his success at the Derby. So nice to see Sovereignty win. It was still a fun race, even though it was not as back and forth, but that's, again, because of the track conditions. Rain is, I feel like, becoming an increasing issue at the Derby this time of year.
What is rate? Did you
rain.
Say? Oh, rain. Yeah. No, that's a nasty thing. I was like, they're really going to run this thing? Those poor horses out there. Did I ever tell you the time I got suspended from the Kentucky Derby?
Wait, was it for a day because you tweeted about a horse?
Because I tweeted, as did everybody
Barbaro,
else.
She's hurt.
Barbaro.
Wow. That's a really sad story.
Oh, man. Barbaro. Barbarino.
Oh, I didn't even put that together. I just, the first horse that came to my mind.
It's all right.
Sorry, Barbaro.
Rhymes with bears. Barbaro, bears. They rhyme. So here's my takeaways from the Derby. You ready? Jason Wirth looked hilarious in his neon green suit and his top hat. He looked like it was kind of like a cross between Dumb and Dumber and a Batman villain. And I have a soft spot for Jason Wirth because I covered Jason Wirth in high school in Chatham, Illinois.
Amazing.
Downstate, Springfield kid. That's right. So I enjoyed that. The Mike Tirico thing was wild. Mike Tirico began broadcasting the event, and then he apparently got really ill and had to be replaced mid-broadcast. Apparently a nut allergy that he was dealing
That's
with.
That's what was reported, yes.
Yeah. So that was wild to see that. And then shout out to Steve Buttleman. Steve Buttleman, the bugler. 30 years for the Buttleman.
Yeah, I love that this was such a point of observation with you.
You guys were like, okay, Grody, now why do you want to talk about the bugle guy?
I'm like, why are we repeating this name?
Right, and I said, well, just his name is Buttleman. And so, and it was his 30th year doing the thing. So I don't know why you guys don't have respect for Steve Buttleman like I do. What's the matter with you guys?
Okay, we have some questions about apartment etiquette here. 5A, question 5A. Should Layla keep cooking meats that should be grilled in... Hold on. Should Layla keep cooking meats that should be grilled in a 700-square-foot apartment where she has neighbors? And the bonus question is about Grody's apartment. Is it okay that Grody lets his cat wander the hallways of his high-rise and scratch the neighbor's welcome mat?
All right.
So we've got indoor grilling and an apartment-wandering cat.
I don't have a grill, okay? But I have a balcony, and I've been thinking about getting a grill, but then I just somehow make do. My apartment building does have grills for public use, so I could have used them, but it was raining. Mitch was bringing me brats from the brat stop, so I didn't realize that these were not cooked, that I needed to do the cooking myself. I probably should have specified, because you can get either or there. So I was like, I got these brats I need to make, because, you know, you want to make them at some point, because they were a couple days old at that point. So I couldn't use the grill. It was raining. I couldn't use my grill because I don't have one. So then I'm like, there are ways to cook these in the oven or the air fryer. The air fryer started to go a little crazy. So naturally, there was a lot of grease and smoke and not a fire and not
the alarm
anything.
Go off?
No alarms went off. But it's a smell.
Yeah.
It's a smell in a tiny apartment. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do about that part of it.
Which leaked into the hallway, I assume. So Everybody was smelling your brats.
Exactly. And I don't want to be the jerk that's cooking all this stuff inside. And this is not the first time. In fact, Second City Prime, I got their frozen meat. And there was something that I wanted to cook. And it was a steak. I did the whole indoor steak method, which requires like an iron skillet and, you know, your oven as well. So, again, just a lot of smoke is what happens there.
Yeah.
So yep. I feel like a jerk because I did this, even though they came out successful, all the things that I have cooked, but I didn't realize how much smoke it was going to produce and then ultimately smell for my neighbors. So I'm sorry, guys.
I can raise you on that. I just realized that just sparked a memory. When I lived in Springfield, Illinois, I lived in an apartment and my dad was visiting. So he and I were doing some kitchen steaks. I did not have the ability to have a grill in that place. So we were frying up some steaks, and the alarm goes off, smoke's going into the hallway, and guess who showed up? The Springfield Fire Department comes in full force.
Were you suspended from Palace Hall a day because of it?
The police come in. My dad and I are smoking. My dad has a personality very similar to mine. So We were just having fun, and the firemen come, and we're like, it's all good, gentlemen. Come on in. If you'd like some steak here, we're doing just fine. But
I love you offered it.
It was just like, of course, and you know how it is like with the fire department. They cut, like, even if it's just a false alarm, they come storming, man. I mean, you've seen it in the city. I've seen it in high rises that I've lived here. It's like, that's their job. So they do a great job. But it was a moment in a little apartment in Springfield, full force fire department. As for Dave the Cat, yeah, for some reason, Dave loves, I get it, he loves being out in the hallway. It's a place to explore. I get it. It's pretty neat.
It's outside for him.
It's outside for him. So I've gotten to the point where I trust him enough to where I just lodge the door open and I let him wander and I go about my business. But the one thing that he does is he just loves to go to the neighbors and scratch the welcome mat in front of them. And every once in a while, he'll go way down the hallway, and that's where I got to call it off. Luckily, so far, I have not gotten caught by any of the neighbors. So stand by for Dave acceptance. People either accept cats or they don't accept cats. You know, that's the cat world.
No, I feel like that is true. And if there's one thing that I have learned, cats don't have owners. No. Cats have staff.
That's right.
Like, that cat has hustled you.
Oh, yeah,
you
hustled
work
me.
For Dave.
5:30 in the morning, he hustled me today.
Yeah, and didn't you say that this was an issue, like, at 4 a.m. he'd be hustling you for food?
We're getting there again. He comes in, he'll cuddle up to me and, like, hang out. And, like cats are perfect for that. But then he's like, okay, pal, I want a little more from you at this point. You know, little heavy meow, and I'm up, and I'm giving the cat food, and I go back to bed.
Does the neighbor know that Dave the Cat has scratched his welcome mat?
No, that's just it. I don't know how they would handle it. How would they handle that?
They don't know that, like, they haven't noticed the texture of the mat has been affected?
Well, we haven't been there that long. So I only think I've only been there for 4 months or so.
Is it a scratch or is it biscuit?
Oh, no, it's like the full, like, they dig in real good. You know, when they get, like, picture a cat on a scratching post.
Oh, my word.
Digging in real good. And, like, sometimes I watch them. I'm like, come on, man, hurry up. Hurry up. One of these days, somebody's going to open that door. So I look, and I'm like, come on, man. Keep scratching. I'm not going to take you away. Come on, man. Okay. And then I feel relief.
I think you need to buy them a new mat. Or buy Dave one, so that way he does that to your place. Maybe, it's just a welcome mat.
No, I think he just likes doing it to the neighbors, though. He did this in the previous place, too. It's his thing, and it makes me very nervous.
He destroys other people's
property on purpose? No, he's not destroying it. So it's fine. Like, he's not destroying it. There is, like, it's a pretty strong welcome mat, I would say. If he was actually destroying it, I would probably stop it. But just, I mean, they may not like cats. They may be allergic to cats, and this cat is digging in on their welcome mat. So I fear for Dave and I. Love you, Dave. Shout out, Dave, if you're listening.